Important to consider the biggest provider of healthcare outside of the government, that is the Catholic Church. We do have a conscientious objection exemption effectively for the Catholic medical sector, but what does it mean for them? How does it work if one of the people in their care comes to them and says, look, I'd like to access these laws to help end my life earlier than otherwise would be the case? Father Tony Kerin joins us. He is the Episcopal Vicar for Life, Marriage and Family Matters inside the Catholic Church here in Victoria. That phrase in the official response, that we resist this law by refusing to cooperate, how do you see that playing out?
Look, we recognise that there are sincere people who see euthanasia and assisted suicide as a solution to those who are in fear of pain at the end of their life or fear of loss of autonomy. We recognise that, and we're not telling other people what to do. We're simply telling people what we are going to do, what our position is, so that there's no doubt about what we believe and how we will react. We're not telling others what to do. We're simply saying what we are going to do.
And so if someone comes to you, one of your doctors or nurses, and says, please help me, please tell me where I can go for this, does your doctor and nurse help them?
Well, we won't be assisting them to kill themselves.
So doctor or nurse would say what? We think there are other options, or they would, what will they actually say to that person who presumably is in pain, wants help ending their life earlier than might be the case?
If they're in pain, we will offer the world's best leading palliative care. These standards are practiced in this state. It's a sad day for Victoria because a line's been crossed here. It's no longer illegal to help someone kill themselves from tomorrow. And I'm sad that there are some people suffering in Victoria as they approach the end of their lives. And I'm sad that not everyone in Victoria has access to this world-class palliative care that is available in this state, but unfortunately not to everyone.
What if they've accessed the drug themselves through another doctor, but they're in a Catholic-run nursing home, perhaps? They wouldn't be allowed to administer it, or you'd try to stop them administering it? How would that one work?
Well, if that's the matter for that person and their doctor, then we would not know about it.
What if I understand, Father, that these might be rare cases, and it'll probably only be 100 people a year, but the rare case illustrates how an institution acts, you know, under pressure. So if there's a patient inside a Catholic-run nursing home, maybe they access a doctor who supplies them with that drug and they get all the necessary requirements from other doctors, but someone running that Catholic nursing home finds out, do you stop them going ahead with that? Do you stop them getting access to the doctor who might provide them the drug?
We simply indicate to them that if that's their chosen course of action, then they really need to go somewhere else.
You wouldn't let them do it there?
No. But once again, I'm saying that we're not telling other people what to do. We're saying what we're going to do. We want everybody to be very clear that the Catholic Church is a conscientious objector to this process.
And what does not impeding access mean? That was another part of the official statement in response. You won't impede access if people want to go through this process. What legal obligations does that place the church or the healthcare that you run?
Simply that we will not stand in the way of anyone who wants to access this legal process.
But you're not going to refer them on to a doctor either, are you?
No. Look, I'm saddened by the whole Newspeak approach of this legislation.
Sorry,
did
you say Newspeak?
Newspeak, yes.
What do you mean?
Is in George Orwell, Newspeak. This is stealing the very definition of palliative care, assistance in dying, stealing that and to rename what is basically assisted suicide. If calling suicide something else makes it somehow different, somehow less upsetting, somehow less a taboo.
You lost that argument though, didn't you, I guess?
We did, narrowly, in the Parliament, and we accept that. Yeah. We accept that. We're not telling other people what to do. We're simply saying what we're doing so that the whole community is in no doubt that they will not find cooperators within the Catholic medical sector.
Father Tony Kerin.
It is available elsewhere.
Understood. Father Tony Kerin is with us. He's the Episcopal Vicar for Life, Marriage and Family Matters, so he speaks for the Church on these issues. Father, what about the subtle pressure that someone in a nursing home or a hospital might apply to someone who's seeking this option? Are you worried that your doctors and nurses might, just by saying, hey, do you really understand palliative care, or perhaps you should recite the catechism. Are you worried that that sort of subtle pressure might take them over a legal line?
My fear of subtle pressure is the fear of impatient inheritors keen to encourage this new weapon in elder abuse.
Oh, we've kind of that's what all the safeguards are for.
Yes, well, tick boxes, tick boxes. The 68 tick boxes.
Do you think that's really a responsible and appropriate thing to warn about when you've lost the debate and the law's about to come in, that people are just going to kill off their rallies for the money? Do you think that's a fair thing to raise?
You're talking about subtle pressures.
Yeah.
You raised subtle pressures, Raph. I didn't raise that. But if you're going to talk about subtle pressures, then please acknowledge what's happening here. You can also acknowledge that the medical insurers will be very pleased with this law. It's much cheaper to ask people to kill themselves than to treat them.
You think the insurers see this as a financial advantage?
I'm convinced that it affects their bottom line. I'm not saying they do it deliberately in this intent, but this is a very, very convenient and economically much cheaper alternative to real palliative care.
You just said before, though, that you're not telling others what to do. You are, though, saying that part of the group that defeated you in debate on the parliamentary floor, they're just greedy. That sounds like you are telling people what they should do. You're accusing them of being greedy.
No.
Well, you talked about people wanting to kill off their rallies for the money, and you said it would increase the insurer's bottom line.
I'm talking about the whole scenario that saw the rise of people who think that this is the best public policy we can manage for people who are in distress at the end of their lives.